Hello and welcome to Nintendo Podcast Systems with me, Sam Barnes, and joining me as always is Jack Gorn and our guest, Lewis Pugh.
Hello!
Hello! Hello.
So, where's Matt? God damn it, Matt!
He's abandoned us, he's abandoned me.
Yeah, he just sort of organised this. I sort of do a podcast and then just had a runner.
I think from what I understand, he's got a lot of schoolwork just dumped on him, so he's having to make sure he's, you know, meeting his commitments and stuff. So we'll give him that at least.
I think he's been grounded for drawing too many Princess Peaches on his workbooks and stuff. So I think that's what it is.
But Lewis, do you want to tell us a little? Well, tell the people at home a little more about what you do within the gaming community.
Sure. Yeah, I do a few things. I do a show kind of like this once a week called Nintendo Voice, with my two co-hosts, Colin and Harrison, and that's pretty fun. And what I also do on kind of the other end of the Nintendo sphere is I make games.
Make games, nice.
My big one I've been working on the last few years comes out hopefully next month, fingers crossed. I'm still worried I don't actually have a release date for the thing. So it may push to the next month, I'm feeling.
Like Blizzard though, because Blizzard do that, because they're like, it'll be ready when it's ready, because that's more like, that's probably a better like policy to follow.
Oh, true. That's one I ran with for a long time, but at this point it's kind of outside of my hands. I'm like, if this was as simple as like the mobile app stores, it would be in people's hands right now. But it's going through the process currently, back and forth.
if we can get that right meme game on the Wii U, I'm sure you can get your game on there easy.
Ironically, that's the more the trickier thing, because it's a more complex game. It gets thoroughly tested, and every little like thing you can do gets thoroughly tested.
Okay.
And because I feel I've made it a game where, because you get chucked in the middle of a world and you can like unlock all the abilities in any order, you can go in any direction, any order, like all that sort of stuff. I feel it's kind of a headache to actually test, and it keeps coming back with like these combinations of things which have popped up. But yeah. I do a few different things in the Nintendo side.
Oh, nice. Awesome,
very
though.
Cool. Very cool.
It's better than what we do. But
it's great fun podcast. So it's great to be here.
And we finally have Jack back, who mysteriously disappeared to Barcelona.
Mysteriously, on a stag do. I did actually disappear for like a good 3-4 hours while I was on the stag do. I got lost in Barcelona.
Guild story.
God, Jack.
Yeah, that's what happens when you go on stag do's, though, unfortunately. So.
But you're happy
chunks
and
of time, don't
now.
You?
Yeah, well, it was a really good time in that, but managed to do a few like days out and stuff. But I missed the Nintendo Direct, which was on while I was there. I was devastated.
For shame, Jack.
For shame. Yeah. So I had to come back and listen to you tell us all about it in the Super episode.
Oh, dear.
Which was good. So if you haven't listened to that yet, go and listen to the Super Nintendo Podcast System episode 5, I think.
It is episode 5.
We're flying through these now.
I know. How long have we been doing this now? A year and a half?
Yeah, it must be about a year
something
and a half.
Something like that. But we're flying through these and enjoying them, to be honest. I know I am. Right.
I've got a few like quick thoughts on the Direct.
Go for it.
I'm quite excited for the Mario Maker 3DS game.
I am as well.
I'm going to back your corner here.
Yeah, I know you all sort of said we weren't that interested in it, but I just like the Street Pass idea with it. The fact that I can go and make it the most trolliest like level ever and just send it to someone randomly through Street Pass is amazing.
That is cool. But yeah.
Go on, Lewis.
I was going to say, although there does seem to be like a lot of sour opinions of this game, and kind of fair enough, like one of the big features isn't the air. But the way I play Mario Maker currently, that's all in the 3DS version. As in, I play that 100 Mario mode, I browse the like featured levels and play some wacky things from there, and that's about it. But I have fun doing that. So I'm not totally at a loss. I mean, it's a weird thing that you can't make a level and upload it straight to the internet.
Yeah, that is the strangest thing.
But I haven't done that on the Wii U version since, like, the first week I had it.
Yeah, same here, really, to be honest. I think we've done a few here and there where we've had, like, Street Pass events and things. But I've not often used the stuff online now, but it's still just one of those really fun games you can sort of... Where if you go to events and things quite often, like quite a few of us do, it's quite nice that the fact you could quite easily make your own level on there every time you go and then test everyone out with it. And here you go, have this quick go on this my level kind of thing. So I think it's got an interesting idea, definitely. So
Lewis, before I forget, you need to choose the opening music.
Well, it was obviously...
I've done the mat already.
Nah, it was obviously chosen because it's already played in advance, hasn't it? That's how this works. But what you listen to is the delightfully crazy intro theme tune to Army Krog on the Wii U.
Ooh.
So...
What is Army Krog? I've never heard of that.
I was going to say.
Well, it's not one of mine. That would have been an interesting plug. It was a Kickstarter a few years back, and either a person or some people involved from Original Earth from Jim, who made this game called Army Krog. And it's a claymation, old school, like, click and point adventure game. But it's quite funny. And
I heard about this.
So is the intro.
Cool.
Yeah, it's got a proper, like, theme tune for its game, which is what you've just listened to, or been made to listen to on the intro. So
when you say like clay animation, I think it reminds me like the clay, was it Clay Fighters that was on the SNES?
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, what a game!
And the N64.
Oh, N64 as well. Of course it was. Yeah, it was early, wasn't it? Yeah,
63.
I would know that one.
Quarters, I think.
Oh wow, man! Now I've got to go get that game.
Yeah, well, also
if you can find it.
Check out Army Krog on the eShop. I'm sure they've got a trailer up there, so you gonna see the style they've gone with. It's really nice to see like that sort of claymation in HD as well. You don't see much of that nowadays, and this is really nicely done, and it's genuinely a funny game, so worth checking out.
Cool, I'm gonna check that one out straight after the pod.
Any other thoughts, Jack, on the
direct
for you?
It was interesting to see that Yoshi's Woolly World is moving to DS as well. I think that will sell quite a few.
And the little woolly poochies.
Woolly poochies.
Poochie, yeah.
Yeah. Be fair, that was really cool.
I've got to get one because he's going to sit with my four woolly world Yoshis amiibos. I love them.
So is that one of each colour and a giant one, I'm guessing?
Yep. I originally only went with the little one, and then I was like, oh, look, there's a big one on sale. And then I was like, oh, look, there's the other two colours. I was like, damn it.
So is Poochie like Nintendo's cutest creation?
Ooh,
especially in that
Kirby
form.
Kirby.
I think he outcutes Kirby. Kirby's a cute guy, but I'm not sure he matches.
I'm sorry, but if I could say anything's cute, Eevees are always my favourite. Eevee's so cute.
It's a close
my
one.
My little Eevee. But,
you know what? That's quite a good segue into the next section, to be fair.
Yeah, very true. So with that wraps up the intro. We'll move on to the next section. We move on to the news section. And our first couple of bits of news are on Pokemon Sun and Moon. They have released a few more trailers looking at particular things like some more Ultra Beasts, if I'm right in saying, and they've shown a few more new Pokemon just recently today. This has been recorded on the 20th of September. So what do we think of the Ultra Beasts?
Yeah.
I'm confused, to be honest, because I'm like, Ultra Beasts, like,
I guess the question is why are they different to Pokemon, assuming they're not Pokemon.
They've not really explained it too much, have they?
No.
It's like they've designed it, then they forgot to name it.
Kind of.
Put it out there.
My theory, when it's, I guess it's not really mine, it's one I've heard around, and I don't think it's too super spoilery, because these are just people's guesses. But each of the Ultra Beasts so far kind of resembles one of the main, like, characters in the game. And so maybe the reason why they're separated is because maybe there is some sort of connection between them, and thus there's a reason now that you can't catch them, because that would be weird.
There's lots of rumours going around in relation to the series, because there's like Ash's Greninja.
Yeah.
There's lots saying that there could be a relation with that, with these Ultra Beasts. But I'm not so sure on that, to be honest. I think it's just so... It's so very, like, weird how they've just sort of named them type things, and I don't get it. I don't really understand what they're going for at the moment.
The only thing I can guess is that they want some kind of story-related things, which you can't just go in and catch, like, every legendary so far. Like, they want a deliberate reason why, like, for example, after you fight it, like, you can't catch it. It does something. And this is kind of how they're doing it. Just giving them a new class on their own right.
I'm just looking at the YouTube video now. Like, there's UB-02 Absorption? I'm like, what the...
Yeah, that one comes in like two types. They make it even more weirder. Number two is different in each version.
Yeah, and then that's the sun version. The moon version is Beauty, which is like a very effeminate sort of... I don't know, it looks like Lady Gaga almost.
Lady Gaga the Pokemon. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I think. But like, obviously, one's for sun, one's for moon. And there's going to be more, like, we'll go into it in a bit, but there's going to be more specific version Pokemon as well with evolution. So making it even more fun.
Oh, my God. Do we have to talk about Raticate?
Yes, we have to talk about Faticate.
Oh, my God.
Chubby Faticate. Because there's him. What were the other ones? Hang on. I'm going to... Sorry.
Do a quick search.
Technical. Yeah, I'm literally just going to zip through.
I don't know if you've seen Faticate yet, Lewis. But,
I've seen him, yeah.
He's very chubby cheeks, isn't he?
He looks more like a hamster than a rat now.
No, I'd agree. Yeah, and obviously the director had this kind of cute, like, telling of why the Raticates, or the Rattatas and the Raticates, became the form they did.
Yeah, I like that they've actually used it and said, well, the Rattata drove out during the day because there's these other predators, so they just come out at night kind of thing. That's quite a nice little way of saying this is what happened, and that because they were out at night all the time, they turned nocturnal and they changed their design, and... At least it's actually got a story going with it. That's a really good idea, and I like that.
Yeah, I call it Gentleman Raticate, because it's got a little moustache.
Little moustache.
So the new one's a type null. I was like,
that was the weird
very,
thing. I was like,
very null. Weird. We have Jangmo Dasho. Jangmo-u. Well, I'm not sure how I would say it yet.
Which one was that?
It's the dinosaur. It's the dragon one.
The cute.
We've got obviously a Alola form Raticate, who's a dark and normal type.
That was literally the only good thing about it. He's a dark type as well, but.
Then they talk about the games being set 12 hours apart, which
is this was quite an interesting one. The fact that Sun's. The sun game's only always in the day, and the moon game's always at night.
No.
Yeah.
So, pretty cool.
I was going to say, it's not that one's always in one and one's in the other. It's that they are 12 hours apart. So sun is in real time. If it's night in the real world, it's night in the game. If it's day, it's day. But it's the opposite for moon. If it's day in the real world, it's night in the game, and vice versa.
Interesting. And apparently the game plays out differently in certain events. So as you go through, like, it'll progress differently. Which is gonna be interesting. It'll really keep you on your toes. And then they introduce the Aether Foundation.
Yeah. Like the good team in quotes.
Yeah, there's the leader or the president, Lusamine. I'm not sure how you pronounce
Lusamine.
It. The blonde young lady with a giant gemstone on her dress at the front. They have Faba, who looks to be like the scientist type of the group.
Does look like a bit of an evil scientist.
Yeah, branch chief, as they call him. There's Wick, who is the girl who looks like something out of the 80s with the big glasses and the like roll top sweater. She's also branch chief or assistant branch chief. And then you've got just the employees, which I don't really... I mean, what do you think of the get-up, the clothes? It's like very...
It's all very... It's a bit too nice, I feel. It's all too clean and, you know, white, and I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel they're going to be another bad team, so we're going to have two bad teams this time round.
Oh, dear. And then Team Skulls and Force, or Gladion, is introduced as well, who seems to be a bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
I've not seen much about these, so...
It does, I'm sorry, it does look a bit emo, in my opinion, but... I mean, his Team Skull.
Yeah.
And you've also got to go search for Zygarde cells and cores in a game. So, Zygarde's apparently playing a big part in this, isn't he?
Yeah, so this is kind of like what people were expecting out of Pokemon Z. But it's in Sun and Moon.
That's why there was no Z.
Maybe there was at some point, and this is like the... Like what they did with it, and they've put it in as well. Because it seems like they're chucking so much in Sun and Moon. So many different things.
Speaking of which, they're doing taking photos.
Snap Returns! Yes!
With the Pokefinder, it's like, oh, and like you could peer through like cracks in the walls and find like, oh, look, there's Pikachu, and oh. And you can post them and like Miiverse and all that jazz, which I think is quite nice. Just depends on the novelty you'll wear on that one.
But yeah, it's one of these things, like a lot of Pokemon games, most of them seem to have a side event or something. And most of them I just don't get involved with, but I don't feel it like takes away anything. Like there was like whatever, like a beauty thing or a something. Like there's this whole like other half of the game where you can get ribbons and such, and I usually ignore that. I feel it's going to be the same with this. Like, oh, you might use it a few times, or it might be something you really get into if you can share photos and generally compare points and such. But I did feel it was quite cheeky when they announced it, because I'm sure it was deliberate. And they said something like, oh, taking photos as a snap. Or, you know, they definitely had that snap.
Yeah, they love using little, like, pun type, it's a snap when you do it. It's like, oh, there's a clue there. And then right at the end, they show UB-01, which is a jellyfish looking thing.
That's the one who looks a bit like the girl you meet at the beginning with the kind of the bag around her waist and the big hat.
Very true, yes.
Yeah. Something there, but we don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
And in the current video that was shown today, it shows the specific like version Pokemon. So in Sun, you got Passimian, which looks like a rugby player. Ringtailed lemur. It's got like a coconut half on its head as a helmet.
Yeah.
It's quite a good ability though, called Receiver.
Yeah, so it takes the ability of the Pokemon that faints. Is that right?
I believe so, because it showed in the trailer that one of them had Levitate as an ability, and I think it got taken down, and then he took Levitate as the ability.
Yeah, I think that's quite cool, actually.
It's useful.
Then it shows Oranguru, which is the Moon version. Which is a normal psychic type. It looks very...
The werewolf-looking, like, one.
No. We'll go into that one in a second. But this is the... it's like a gorilla with a shawl on and a fan.
Yeah.
I was going to say, everything you need to know on this one's in the name, really.
It's a psychic type, and it knows its abilities are inner focus and telepathy. It can I think there's a, it has a specific moveset as well where it can, it's, oh yeah, that's it, it's called Instruct, and it can basically, instead of using its own move, tell the team player Pokemon to use one of its moves again, which is
sort of like is it Encore as the move, make it use it constantly kind of thing? Or
no, it's more like if you're in a duel, if you're in a doubles battle and you have your team Pokemon, it can basically, instead of using its own move, turn to the other Pokemon, tell it to use one of its moves, and it will use that instead.
Okay, I can sort of see that.
Yeah, I thought it was a really clever idea. It's like, instead of having to waste a move that probably might not even work, you could use your teammate's move.
It's definitely adding Pokemon to the more competitive side. And I mean, like the lizards they had previously, which could poison steel types.
I think that was the lizard, wasn't it?
I can't remember what it was called. I have no idea. But things like that, for a competitive game, is a really little sneaky tactic that the people might be able to use quite often, depending on what Pokemon are used. And it seems the same sort of things happening with the new ones they've shown off so far. So
it looks like something that could be used in competitive. So I can see that being quite a fan favorite, possibly. Then they move on to this is what you were talking about, Rockruff, the little dog-looking Pokemon.
Yeah.
It has specific evolutions for Sun and Moon. So in Sun, it evolves into the midday form called Lycanroc, which is the wolf-looking one on all fours. And that has Keen Eye and Sand Rush as its abilities, which is, it looks really cool. I love this Pokemon so far. I was waiting to see what its evolution line would be like. And then in Moon, it's more of a werewolf looking evolution, if you guys agree.
Yeah, I did see this one and I was really like confused at first.
Yeah,
but
this is its midnight form, but I quite like it. I think it's cool. I've pre-ordered Pokemon Moon, so I'll be getting this one, but I like both, so I'm gonna have to obviously trade with someone for the midday form. Unless it's just like when you evolve it, at what time that you get it.
Yeah,
but
it's possible.
I have to wait and see. But it's just, it does specifically state its versions. So then they go on to be fashion forward in Alola. Mm. So it looks like they brought the fashion bit back. And you can,
from X and Y.
Yeah, so yeah, it looks like dress ups back.
Which is cool. It's good to see the different trainers looking like actual different people, opposed just the same four.
Yeah, because it gets a bit boring when you play, like, say, like you're playing someone and then your icon pops up and it's just the same character looking back at you and you're like, there's no individuality. So I must admit, I agree. This looks pretty fun. Looks like you can earn, like, festival coins and buy different clothes and things. Mm. And you can change your hair color and style and there's all sorts you can come up with.
it does look like there's more variety this time, rather than everyone still looks the same. But you can change like little things, like your eye colour, using contact lenses, and it just looks a bit more in depth than it was before.
Is that really setting a good example to kids though? Like, oh, go dye your hair and put in contacts and like. No, I mean, no, in a nice way.
Really, kids play this. It's all adults.
Oh, God. And then they move on to the new Pokemon and Me, Pokemon Refresh, which, I don't know, I was watching it, and it looks like if the Pokemon has a stat problem, you can go in and, like, almost get rid of the status effect.
It showed an Eevee with which seemed to be paralyzed.
An Eevee. I think it's a Vulpix that's been dirtied with something. I don't know. It's like green sludge.
Maybe poisoned?
Yeah.
No, because they move on to Spearow, which looks like it's been poisoned.
Yeah.
Eevee with paralysis. Pikachu eats a berry, which is, you know, Pikachu being cute as always. And then just a Rangaroo looking a bit wet.
Having a shower.
Yeah.
It was really odd.
It does look quite odd. And then they move on to, oh, this is my favorite bit. They've got two more exclusive Z-moves, one for Pikachu and one for Eevee. We'll do Pikachu first because we'll say we've used the best to last.
The dance was amazing for Pikachu.
Yeah, Pikachu is actually on screen doing the dance moves.
Yeah.
With the trainer.
It's like it's doing the Yokai Watch dance, but
I have been getting Yokai Watch vibes from the Z move dancers in this.
Yeah, I can imagine Shigeru Miyamoto or someone jumping on and doing some Z move jump abouts, because they got to show off this watch later at some point, haven't they?
Well, maybe for us, Shibata again. He did the Yoko Watch, didn't he?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, did he? Oh, I get confused.
Oh, you have to look that one up. That was fantastic.
All of them do it. I want to see them all do it. Maybe
Reggie, your body is ready. Let's dance.
But then it's really weird because the trainer just picks up Pikachu and it just flings it in the air. It's just like, go!
Matt did retweet a video of someone showing the dance off earlier. Then when the girl picks Pikachu up, flings it, goes onto a Smash Bros. Screen and says, like, throws a Pikachu out of the screen. So, yeah. Pretty funny. Have a look on Matt's Twitter for it. It's funny.
Yeah, and the name of it is Catastropika.
Yeah.
Words.
Yeah.
Are you sure they could have made a better Pikachu pun than that?
I was like, oh, dear Lord. But yeah, so fair enough. And then they show off Eevees, which basically is called Extreme Evo Boost. And it's Eevee getting surrounded by, well, first it goes a bit ominous. And there's like the evil beasts in the bushes sort of eyes. And I was like, okay. And then lights come on and it's all the evolutions, which is amazing. But also kind of reveals that there might not be a next Eevee evolution in this game.
I was going to ask, because do you reckon they were hiding one?
Either they're hiding one, or there's not going to be one. Either that, or they've made a version-specific video so that they're hiding the new one. But yeah. I'm very sad that there might not be a new Eevee evolution. But still, it's really cool, because then all the evolutions then jump up, like share their energy with the Eevee, and then like every stat
puts its hands up in the air and says, "Share your energy with me," proper Goku style. And then
it kind of reminded me of like the sages from Ocarina of Time, when passing their power
in a way.
These colourful beams of energy.
Yeah, and then every stat gets boosted very sharply. Attack, defense,
and a special.
Speed. So,
yeah, all the stats basically get boosted.
So,
and I was like, is that it? It's really cool, like long, like Z move shown off, and then it was just boost the stats a bit.
Still, might turn the tide of battle. It's an interesting Z move. I love the whole build up to it. It was amazing. But yeah, so that was all the videos. General thoughts.
Pokemon Sun and Moon is going to be a mental.
Yeah,
there's going to be so much to explore. I think I'm going to be playing this for so long.
I just wish they would stop making the original Pokemon look awful. I hate Raichu with a passion.
To Nintendo, stop making Alola forms.
Yeah, please stop.
Yeah. I assume the advantage is that if you were playing the Virtual Console original games, you can transfer your regular versions into Sun and Moon when that actually kicks in.
Yeah, there's some things about this, because there's lots of people going on about Machamp overpowered in the original games, and transferring them over could be a potential issue. And then there's people talking about like missing numbers of Mews as well. Could this be like the first legit way of getting a Mew?
I got Mew.
First game.
I got Mew.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, So I assume the first question was that glitch still in the Virtual Console version of it?
It is.
I haven't tried it.
Still, all the glitches yeah. in the original games still.
I am surprised. Yeah. I thought Nintendo would have scraped that stuff, considering they went through the effort of putting the trading stuff in.
Yeah. They could quite easily have got rid of them. Yeah,
Can't stop me now.
Yeah, I reckon the Mew's probably okay, but I doubt they'll put a missing no through.
They took that out, I think. Unless... I'm sure people are saying it's not there.
Oh, okay.
So I think people are safe of not crashing their games.
I'll investigate.
That or it transforms into the type null. That could be.
Oh, wow, that would be awesome. That would be a great idea.
That'd be clever. That'd be very clever if they could get the code to work. Cause it's...
That would actually be a great idea. Oh my god, Lewis, you've done it. You should work for Nintendo.
You've cracked the code. It's the poker code.
The poker code. Wow.
Turn the spinner, it spells pokeable or something. Right. Moving on.
Should we just quickly do Pokemon Go? Because we're still Pokemon then.
Why not? Pokemon Go will be compatible with the Apple iWatch. So I think you get little pings and things of like, oh, look, this Pokemon's around, and oh, you're near a Pokestop, and
well, it's
from
basically,
what I understand,
it's basically just the app. Like, you can do everything you can, I believe, in the phone version that you can in the little the watch version. Just sticks on your wrist. I guess the important thing, I think it technically has to be running still, but I guess it's really not much of an effort to have it running on your watch while you have a walk. And I guess technically you could be doing things on your phone. There we go, there's multitasking for you.
Yeah, sweet. You could have the wristband right next to it as well, so you can watch what you're doing and...
Yeah.
That's quite a good idea. I like that. But I don't have an Apple Watch, so I couldn't really say much about it, to be honest.
I don't have an Apple phone, so I'm good. So
I know that the amount it drains, because I got an iPhone 5, and the amount of battery it drains just from playing Pokemon Go is ridiculous. So if the Apple Watch is...
I've seen that firsthand.
If the Apple Watch is the same sort of problem, that it's going to drain the battery the whole time, then will many people actually use it?
Yeah, it's a much bigger problem when your watch suddenly runs out of battery after you did that, isn't it? Because then you're wearing a dead watch for half a day. Yeah, that would be interesting. Hopefully they've optimized it a lot for the wrist.
Hopefully.
Are you still playing Pokemon Go?
Oh yeah, definitely.
I've not played it for quite some time. I should return to it, I've not played it for a few weeks.
I'm still addicted to it. I actually was playing Pokemon Go while in Barcelona. It was amazing. There was Pokestops every like 5 seconds, and I didn't catch many Pokemon. I didn't have, but I did catch a Cypher.
You jammy so-and-so.
I renamed him to Senor Cypher.
Senor Cypher.
Yeah, so that was,
it's just
that was
like,
pretty cool.
Cypher!
So I guess a good question to ask to you guys who are still playing it is, are you getting much out of the new buddy system?
Yes.
Yes.
But mainly because I cycle to work every day.
Yeah.
And I basically do about 4 kilometers each way.
Okay.
So you at least get one. You for every 5 kilometers you do, you get a candy of the Pokemon. That
it's
is
different for
you.
Each Pokemon. I mean, a Pikachu, you only have to do 1 kilometer.
Huh. Really?
Yes. Whereas with other Pokemon, at the moment I'm with Bulbasaur, and you need 3 kilometers.
Maybe it depends on like the amount of CP that Pokemon has, like the amount you need to level it up.
I couldn't tell you any more than that because that's the only Pokemon I've actually used. But I'll do another investigation and I'll get on it and I'll let you know next time.
I had my Vaporeon on and that was 5 kilometers, and then I put Dratini on and that's 5 kilometers.
I think 5 is the maximum on there, but it's more for the rarer Pokemon from what I've heard. But I couldn't say whether that was true or not. But.
Oh, cool. Dear.
But yeah, still enjoyed it. Still fun.
So the next bit of news is there was a new Meet Homo retweet promotion for Kirby Cafe. I think it was like 20,000 retweets, and we earned like a hat and a t-shirt and other stuff. And a little mini Kirby that sits on your shoulder.
Has that gone live yet then? The actual
it's live on the app now. So I've just looked through and I've got a shirt that says Kirby Calf on it with the Kirby sort of popping out of a cup.
Yeah, there's a Kirby hat that you can get as well, which is just basically Kirby. It looks like Kirby swallowed you.
Kirby's eating you, basically. So that's pretty cool.
All about the eats with Kirby. But yeah, I think that was successful. So it shows people still playing it, but what they need to look into is what is it specifically people are doing on there? Are they just doing it for the rewards,
This just proves people are retweeting things they've tweeted out. It doesn't actually prove people playing the game.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's still showing it's working kind of thing, because people want the items in the game and stuff. But they do have a new Mii photo contest that's been launched on there. Around using your like theme on Twitter rather than the actual app. So I'm a bit confused by that straight away. But you've got to take a Mii photo on the app, then put it on your Twitter page, and then you've got to share that to Nintendo to say, here, I want to be a part of the contest kind of thing. So it's very strange that you've got to have all these apps just to be able to enter a contest and promote the game, basically.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, isn't it?
But I don't understand what you win or what you get for doing it. Doesn't really tell you. Very strange. Mm. But if you're very
Phantom Menaces again,
yes, the ghost one.
Oh God!
let's move on quickly.
Yeah, very. So the new iPhone game of Super Mario Run is coming to iPhones and iPads and will be launching this December. I can't play this because I don't have an iPhone, which
I don't think it will be long before it hits Android, basically. That's the other platform, isn't it?
It's early 2017 from what I've heard for Android. But
exactly, yeah, and it's launching December, so it could be as little as just like a 30 days exclusivity, which that's possible in the space.
Now. Everybody go, look at this screenshot. And I'm like, no, don't show me. I just want to experience it for myself. But I'm guessing it's just like
Mario. I think this is a cop-out. I think this is a bit of a cop-out, really.
Really?
Well, they said they weren't going to use original like Mario and Zelda IPs for the mobile games. And I think it's the fact that they've delayed both the Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem apps to be coming out. They thought, oh, we better do something quickly and let's just chuck Mario in a running game and see what happens.
Kind of. I doubt they could just chuck it in, but...
Yeah, I know what you mean. It does seem a bit unimaginative at first. I'm sure... Because, I mean, obviously, Nintendo have got the platforming chops. Like, if anyone can kind of go into this auto-runner genre and really shake things up and deliver a quality product, it's going to be Nintendo. And the fact it's not like endless, these are designed levels. I think this is going to be a fun spin for Mario, as it were, to tackle Mario levels, but he's always running. It's going to be a little bit like the new Super Luigi U levels, where you had to play them really quickly.
I reckon they were like making so many at once, and then they were like, let's just put this on the back burner and just focus on this one. So they just straight away went with Mario, and
it's effectively a promotion tool for another Mario game or like Mario Wii U games that have come out, or even Mario Maker, because they all look very... The newer designed ones that you can use, like the Wii U version, they all look very similar in design.
Yeah, it's that new Super Mario Bros. Style, isn't it, that's using?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of mobile games do that, like for normal video console games.
Well, I know there's the Sonic... Rush or something, run game, and it basically just spends half the like time you're running promoting all the Sonic games that there are, kind of thing. But yeah, it's actually quite a good game. So hopefully Super Mario Run can do the same thing. And I've got it on a which I didn't know you could do, but on Apple phones you can actually put in when a new app's gonna come up, and do a pre-install kind of thing for it. So as soon as it comes out, it'll be pre-installed on my phone. So I'm like, woohoo!
You jammy so-and-so.
Yeah, that's cool. I do have a little prediction around this, because as we said, it is in the new Super Mario Bros. Style, but I reckon as of the optional microtransactions, you can basically buy the different themes which are in Mario Maker. So you can make it look like NES Mario or Mario World Mario. And it doesn't affect like the content of the game at all. It's still the same levels, but you can, you know, play it in those different designs.
I would so buy every single one.
Exactly. And I don't think people will feel ripped off because it's just a cosmetic, you know, change on top. But they would definitely buy it as well.
I would.
Dear me. There is one more bit of news that we got. I'm super excited to announce this. Yacht Club Games have announced their next DLC for Shovel Knight, which is the Spectre of Torment for my absolute favorite, Spectre Knight. Oh my god, I've seen a small video as well. I'm super, super excited. This is the one character I was hoping for. And when they first did Plague Knight, I was like, "Oh," and I was like, "Ah, it's still really good." And then they just recently announced this. So I was like, "Oh my god, it looks so awesome!" I'm a bit confused as to why he's not, unless he's got an ability that makes him float. Because all I've ever known him to do is float about and fling his scythe and stuff. But he can run up walls, and it's very unusual, but I'll wait to see more, obviously, but this is looking so good.
It's looking pretty awesome. I've only seen a few little gifs, but I'm wondering if they did make him float, if it would just feel like a Kirby game. You could just fly across the top of the entire game.
True. I'll wait to see what they do, but if they at least involve that kind of element, because they did with like Plague Knight, they did some of his things with like the flasks appearing and being platforms and... Oh, I can't wait. Yacht Club have always delivered, though. And the fact that it's free as well is even better.
All their updates have been free for DLC.
Yeah, because technically they were all part of the original Kickstarter. They were all stretch goals. Delivered... Well, I don't believe it was on time, but they obviously delivered the game. Mm. And then they worked on all the additional stuff, which is probably a lot better than what a lot of Kickstarters do, which is they get all these extra things they need to make, and they attempt to do it all in the original game, and then that game gets so bloated it keeps getting delayed, and may never, and sometimes never even see the light of day.
They've probably done it in a nice newer game sort of way, because a lot of them being patched in stage by stage.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's always more content coming. It makes you want to go back to it, kind of thing, and play it again
and
again.
I was going
to
say, it just keeps it fresh and alive. And like, I truly, truly can't wait to play this because it looks amazing.
We know it's not the last DLC as well. Because, King Knight is also involved in another DLC pack that they're going to be adding in the future. So
what's going to be an interesting one? Because this is what, spring next year, yeah?
Yeah.
In theory, if things all come together, as Nintendo said, we'll be playing on an NX by that time. And so, one, will Shovel Knight be coming to NX? If so, when?
Yes, because it's on every console there is at the moment.
True, but they had to make a version... Oh, no, I guess, because originally it was just the Nintendo ones, wasn't it?
PlayStation version, which has got the guy from God of War in it as well.
And then the Microsoft one has... the one of the Battletoads, or all of the Battletoads?
Yes, it does. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, the Battletoads, dude. Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, I wonder if Shovel Knight ends up being an NX launch title as an eShop game.
Ooh, and it has like Link in it or something like that. Because
maybe, you know, I mean, like obviously, like Yacht Club Games and Nintendo seem to be pretty best buds. I mean, they got like the only third party amiibo out there. So they're happy to work together.
I've got it on my desk right now.
Oh, same.
Hey Sam, guess what?
What?
He's still in his box.
he what?
He's still in his box.
Oh, God's sakes, Jack. Why?
Because his is more valuable than mine.
God. I used anyway. Mine for a playthrough, but there you go. Is there any other news we've not covered, or is that about it?
I think that's about it.
Yeah. Okay, then. Well, with that, we'll wrap this section up and move on to the next section. So this is the what have we been playing section. Matt has left us a nice little list of what he has been playing. So one of us will obviously cover that for him.
He's been playing My Little Pony.
Yeah.
Barbie.
Hello Kitty. And
Princess Peach's Game Boy game.
Was it a Game Boy Advance one, was it? Game there was Boy a, there's a DS one,
was it DS? It was a DS yeah. game, sorry.
Yeah.
You attack with your emotions.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good range, that. There's an overlapping theme going on there.
Just a little bit.
A few different genres. Yeah, it's good.
Right, I'll cover for Matt then. So Matt played Affordable Space Adventures, which I remember, when did he say he got to last time? I think he said he was getting close to finishing.
He did, yeah. He said he think he was almost near the end.
Yeah.
How would you know? You don't know how long it is.
Is that, yeah.
Can he still afford this Affordable Space Adventure? We will hopefully find out in the next podcast, yeah.
Have either of you played Affordable Space Adventures?
I've played it a bit on multiplayer. So probably about 45 minutes-ish with one mate, so going it through two-player co-op.
I've heard it's really good on co-op. I've never played a co-op.
It's a weird game. It's definitely a well-built, good quality game. Mm. It didn't quite grab us. Although it did have some really cool moments to it, but just the fact that we've not gone back to it is somewhat.
Yeah, I'm the same sort of boat. It was. I played it for a good like hour or so, and I really enjoyed it. And it was quite interesting the fact they keep adding different parts each level to your ship. Like it upgrades, but it gives you something else you've got to control.
All right.
And it's really interesting, and I'd like to see if they can do more with it, but. It doesn't grab people like it should, kind of thing. I can definitely understand that.
Yeah, I'll definitely go back to it at some point, but I've just not quite got there yet. But another thing to mention about it is it's a fantastic looking game. It's quite simplistic, as in it's 2D and whatnot, but it's got these great lighting effects going on. I mean, it's one of the few games I actually turned the lights down just to, like right next to like the remake of Resident Evil. The light
Get the ambience on there.
Yeah, it was really well done. I was surprised. It's a good game. And if you've got it as part of the indie bundle, which went on a little while back, do check it out if it's just kind of sitting there.
And Freedom Planet, because Freedom Planet is the best game ever.
I'm still not. Well, I've checked it out again, similar to this, for a very short period of time. So that's one I need to put some proper time into.
Hey, if you ever want to see what it's like, just go to my YouTube channel. Yeah. I've got a whole bit on Lilac Story.
All right. I'll have to go and check that out.
Yes. Who wants to go next, then?
I can go next.
Okay.
I've only been playing a few things. One of the ones I mentioned at the beginning of the show, but I'll talk a little bit more about what it actually is. And so, Army Krog. I basically said at the beginning of it was it's like kind of oldie point and click adventure game, and it was in claymation and it was funny. Mm. Admittedly, that does cover quite a lot of the game, but I've probably played it for a couple of hours. Puzzle wise, it strikes a nice balance. So I'd say it's a bit harder than your average game. But it's not like excruciatingly confusing in its puzzles, so it's a fairly nice balance. And so it's got some niceties which kind of these older games didn't have. So a lot of the time in those older games, you would have a few items in your inventory, and you knew you would have to do something with like this weird like hole in the wall or something, and you would be like trying to combine your items or trying to every sort of combination of your item and the thing you need to try and do something with. But in this game, if you've got the item that you can use to do the thing, you just tap on what you want to do with it, and he automatically uses it. So you don't have to try the different combinations or anything like that. He either, like, do the thing you need to do, or he'll, like, shake his head and go, like, no, I don't have the thing. So it streamlines it in that way, which is nice. The puzzles are varied, which is cool. Like, you've got some which are, you get, again, they're just more item-based, but you've got some where you've got to actually walk around, and there's some where you kind of, they're more environmental. So, like, you kind of go in this, like, little, I don't know what you call it, really. this kind of, like, little car thing, which is on a wire, and you kind of jet around on that. But, yeah, there's a few...
Monorail?
Kind of like a little monorail, which goes around. But, yeah, there's lots of different things for you to do, and it's a very charming game. So it's one where you can probably judge it. It sounds a bit harsh to say, but you can judge it just by watching a little video of it. So
I am watching it now, actually, funnily enough, and it looks actually really sharp.
Did you say beforehand it was made by the same people that made Earthworm?
I did say that.
It looks like it.
I'm not entirely sure which people or who, so I'm a bit hesitant to repeat it loudly. But yeah, that's what I heard. I'm not sure it's like the original designer of the character Earthworm Jim, but obviously because there's a lot of people involved. But yeah, there is definitely some shared lineage there. And there is a few little cheeky winks and nudges to Earthworm Jim, like similar designs and such. But it is a completely original thing.
That was a great game too.
Yeah. I think it's the Earth and Jim IP is being sold off currently to the highest bidder.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Amongst the other IPs that person holds currently.
Interesting.
So yeah, so I assume someone will buy it for some price. So something may happen with Earth and Jim.
Well, if this game does well, they could always buy it themselves. So.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah, they this is something they would like back. Depends. Yeah, it depends how well this does for them.
Cool.
Any other games?
That's the only current thing I've been playing. The other thing I've been doing, because I usually have like a console game and a portable game going on. And so on the portable currently, I'm playing Phoenix Wright, but not the new game. Revisiting the oldies because I decided to do that a while back and they're giant games, so I've not done them yet. In fact, I'm still just revisiting the first one. I kind of had plans to do the trilogy before this new game came out, and I'm not doing very well on that challenge. All I'm doing now is once I've finished that first game, I will buy the new one and play through that. But yeah, it seems odd to jump through the new one while I'm very far through that first game again. And it's really good, the end of that first game. And so I kind of want to go through that before I jump into the new one.
Oh, nice. Awesome. Cool. I can't say I've played them myself, but they, like, I always just like the thought of just sitting there and going, OBJECTION!
It's good. You technically can do that. It's got a little button. It's very novel on the DS. If you hold it down, you can shout OBJECTION, and then it does it.
Oh, nice.
I don't think I've ever used it, apart from maybe once a test. But it's there. So you can shout OBJECTION.
In case.
As long as you're in court, at least.
I remember, like, Objection. When it came out, I was at work, and I was like, I don't think I'd really want to be sit there. And then people look at me like, why is he shouting OBJECTION for? What's he objecting to?
Yeah. Wow. Press the play button instead.
Jack, do you want to go next?
I can do. I haven't, like I said, I haven't really played a lot because I've been away. However, I did sort of have a quick go on Pokemon Y while I was on the plane.
Yeah.
I've been adding quite a few people on my 3DS over the last year or two or so. But I totally forgot about the friend safaris on Pokemon Y.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh, I'll have a look through and see if there's anything I haven't caught. And I went through, must have been about 15 different people who I've literally totally forgot to play because I've added them on the DS. It was really weird.
Yeah.
But I was going through and I come across some shiny Pokemon.
Oh, you lucky so and so.
Yeah, I got a barbacle. I don't know if that's the best way to pronounce that.
But, I think I know which one you mean.
He looks, he basically looks like some coral in the water with some hands and eyes coming out of his hands. It's the weirdest looking Pokemon ever. Mm. And he's got like these red and brown stripes with all over it, this like rock based body. But the shiny version, his stripes go all sort of like neon green, and he's like all purple, and it's a really weird looking shiny Pokemon.
It's like, okay.
He was stuck in like the '90s, like dressed up as some sort of little emo dude or something. But you know, it's all cool. But yeah, nice. It was nice to actually pick up a shiny Pokemon, because I think the last one I got was Tyranitar, and that was from a friend who traded that to me, and I've been using it quite a lot. So he's a big blue dinosaur. He is cool.
Because the normal version is red, isn't he?
His normal version is red, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so after I've played that, I played a little bit of Monster Hunter. I've not really done a lot on Monster Hunter, to be honest. I went to Redden's event just before going to Barcelona.
Oh, yes.
Which was all pretty cool, with loads of play on there. I was actually featured on the Street Pass UK highlights video for August. I think all three of us were.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing, because we all went to separate events and we all ended up on the same video. It was like,
I went to Basingstoke's Smash Brothers and Pokemon Go event. I played in the Monster Hunter mini game and I came third. And there's only three teams.
So you come third out of three.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But the problem is the guys who we were against had played like hundreds and hundreds of hours, and I had only played like, I can't remember, about 50 hours. Yeah. So it's been like, and the other guy with me just had no clues. Like, poor fella. I really felt for him because he was trying so hard, and I was just like, this isn't going so well. But we had fun, which was the main thing, really. But
that's what matters at the end of the day, though, doesn't it? So as long as you have a bit of fun at these events, that's cool.
Yes, exactly.
I also finished a game for once. It's an absolute miracle.
God, pigs are flying.
Oh yeah, bacon. I mean. it's nothing special. I completed Pokemon Picross, of all things. I've done all the levels on that, and
little fanfares go off, little confetti.
But yeah, it's a pretty fun game for not a lot, really. I think I probably spent about 15 quid on it to get rid of the stupid energy bar. Yeah. But
I spent about 10 on it. I was just like, get out of the way.
The amount of time I've spent on it, it's probably been worth it. I can't complain too much of it.
Hmm.
Did you finish
all the panels, though? All the
Yes, puzzles? I've got all the mega panels for... now I've got to try and remember the names. Groudon
and Kyogre.
And Kyogre. That's the other one I can remember. So.
But you finished all the panels as well, have you?
Yep, I've finished all those. So I'm not going to bother with the mega puzzles, because they're just... that's so annoying.
It's like, instead of just like a straight line, it's now like there's this line, but then this one could possibly be in
but
this
basically
kind of shape,
rather than one line, it's giving you two lines, and it's giving you like 50 different combinations of what could be in there. And it's like, nah, you're right.
Yeah, I looked at that and went, nope, bye bye.
So the problem I had there is I finished playing Pokemon Picross, and I was like, what do I play now? I started playing Pokemon Yellow for a little bit, and then I was like, I couldn't remember where I was, and I got sort of bored of that pretty quick. So I had to go and play Pokemon Shuffle again, didn't I? Which was my most played game of last year on my 3DS. Wow. So
I like 80 extra lives on that to use. I'm like,
there's been loads of updates added to it, and I did have loads of extra hearts and things to use, but I went through them pretty quickly. And there's a new mode where you can use 3 hearts at a time, and you basically constantly get different Pokemon in a row. And the more you defeat, the basically more items you unlock going forward. It was pretty interesting, but you know, it's Pokemon pick. It's Pokemon Shuffle. Can't really do a lot more than.
You're gonna say Picross, though, aren't you?
I was gonna say Picross. That's done. I don't need to see anything about that ever again.
Are you excited for Picross 3D Round 2?
No.
Yes and no. I might...
Lack of Pokemon.
Lack of Pokemon. That might be it. I do have the Zelda Picross to play. I've got that somewhere. I've got to add that to my account. Yeah, but I wasn't really massively into Picross until I started playing this Pokemon one, and it was nice while it lasted, but I don't think I'll be going back to any time soon kind of thing. I might need a break from it.
No fear then.
But yeah, other than the usual playing a bit of Mario Kart 8, there's not really been a lot other games wise because, you know, been away and all that. I do intend on picking up the new Paper Mario game coming out.
Yes. I've pre-ordered that already. I can't wait. Yeah.
Cool.
It looks so much fun.
I mean, I've never actually played Sticker Star, so if it's quite similar to Sticker Star, and it's, as people say, quite poor, no, I wouldn't know any different. So
apparently, there's been a lot of reviews and reports that it got a little bit more diversity, so it's not going to be completely the same as Sticker Star.
I mean, the videos I've seen so far, it's got that sort of charm that Paper Mario games do have, and a bit of humour. And if it's got that in it, I'll be happy with it, to be fair. So
I'm just going to give it a go and see how it goes, really.
The other game I'm looking to get is the new Mario Party game coming to the 3DS as well.
Yeah, that looks good, doesn't it?
Yes, very good. I mean, we like playing a lot of games with people at events.
Yes, we do.
So it just seems like an easy one to go for, really. And,
And I think that's that would be ideal for that because it does have the single cart mode. Now, technically, other people need to download something, but it is a free download from the eShop, so you can still do it with the one cart. So yeah, if you're prepared, you should be able to get a lot of usage out of, you know, just one version of the new Mario Party.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea, and I think it'll go really well, hopefully.
So yeah, that's me all covered, really.
I've been playing stuff on my channel as always, so I've been doing Super Mario RPG, which has been an unusual, funny, weird. I think it's kept me going because like, I've never played it. It came out in the US in like 1996, and we've only had it a couple of years.
Yeah, it was a bit delayed on its way, wasn't it?
Was this the one that never arrived in the UK?
Yeah,
it never arrived until like a few years ago.
Yeah, one of the many of the great Super Nintendo RPGs which never made it its way here into the Virtual Console.
Yeah, one of the rare ones by Square.
Exactly, yeah, like obviously Final Fantasy 3 or 6 as it is now.
It has a very Final Fantasy-esque type feel to it.
I'll say
that. It's really unusual. Plus, some of the enemies aren't really the enemies I remember them named as. I'm just like, I was like, this is weird. I don't think that's what that is. Like, Cheep Cheep's not a Cheep Cheep. And I was like, what the heck? So confusing.
What's Peach called in that game?
Princess Toadstool.
It is Princess Toadstool. Okay.
She is Princess Toadstool of the Mushroom Kingdom still, though.
What do you think of Super Mario RPG in general? I mean,
good. If you understand the battle system in there, and like, because it didn't explain certain bits, and I've had to pick it up myself. And
that's what I was going
to
say. Because the first sort of few battles I saw you play on there, it was like, okay, I'll press this button to attack, and it just sort of does the animation. And you're like, okay, now what do I do? But you actually got to press the button when it hits the enemy.
I was like, oh, it didn't really explain that to like in any detail in any way. But I mean, it's good. I'm enjoying it. And like, I've just found like there's different items you can equip, and it does different attacks like in different ways. So like a hammer, it works one way, and then I've got a shell now, which is it like you kick it instead of like it's really weird. I'm enjoying it though. I'm gonna get through it, and I can't wait to get more characters because I think Gino's just appeared, the puppet thing, but I haven't got him in my team yet, so we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Cool.
Other than that, I mean, started...
just for a quick one. You can definitely see how the game, like Paper Mario and the Mario and Luigi series, have sort of developed off of Super Mario RPG kind of thing.
I think it was originally supposed to be. I mean, what was it? Paper Mario. Mm-hmm. It was supposed to be Super Mario RPG 2.
Yeah. The original Japanese name was that, I think.
Yeah, but then it got rebranded to Paper Mario.
Mario Story in Japan and Paper Mario in everywhere else. So, so yeah, that's pretty cool though. I do like the sort of RPG games with Mario, and they've definitely developed well, and hopefully they continue to be well.
Nice. I've started Super Mario 3D World on my channel. Good Wii U classic. I enjoy it so much. So I'll hopefully be showing off all the nice secrets and the fun bits and
the purring Luigi.
And what?
Purring Luigi.
Purring Luigi. I'm gonna be just go meow so much because I just love it. It does it right at the end. But I need to get to World 3, I think, because that's where you get the fox raccoon Luigi, because his like the tanuki suit is actually like a kitsune, like a fox, because like obviously where it was the year Luigi when it was released, they did like special stuff for him. I was just like, oh, so cool. Other than that, I did a video with Matt on Pokken Tournament. I've yet to edit it and put it out. I might do it for Saturday, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, keep an eye out for that. I won't tell you the results.
Sound good though.
Well, it's not a clean sweep for either person, but someone does win and someone does lose. So I keep that under wraps.
Is that why Matt's not on the podcast now? Because he's still crying.
I whooped his ass. He's in the corner crying. And other than that, I've been doing Pokemon Go. I still play it. I usually, like, before I start work on a late shift, I go out and go have a walk around the park and stuff just to see if I can get a few more. I'm so close to getting a Blastoise. I've saved a good Squirtle, which I hatched. So I'm going to evolve it, like, straight through. So I have a good strong Blastoise. I'm just like, did like one or two more Squirtles and then I'm good. But
we're quite lucky in Southampton though, because there's loads of areas for like Squirtles and things all over the place.
Yeah,
all the parks are filled with them. So
I found like one or two Bulbasaurs, but Charmander seems to be eluding me very, very much. I've got 2K eggs.
I've got really lucky because next to my place of work in Eastleigh, there's a little country park, and every time I go to the entrance to the country park, a Charmander appears.
Nice.
So I'm like, yes.
Darn it! I'm gonna have to find these spots.
And then literally just around the corner is a Growlithe spot as well. But it's like, yes, the two of the best Pokemon.
I want Arcanine. But anyway, before Jack makes me even more jealous, we'll move on to our next section. Right, this is our shout out section. Matt has got a shout out for his homework.
I didn't think you were going to say that. Okay, cool.
Why not? He's got a shout out for his homework because homework is awesome and he loves it and he's such a nerd. And
well, he's going to have so much fun editing this podcast.
Jack, what are your shout outs for this podcast?
I've got a bit of a strange one, actually.
I've seen what you've put. I'm just going to let you go.
Well, Matt had it in. He was going to talk about it in this episode about what we've been playing and watching. We've been quite interested in this Daro Breen Go 8-Bit show that's all been right on UK TV. It's on Dave, I think it is.
Sounds like the likely culprit.
Yeah. It's basically a TV game show sort of thing with a few like Z-list celebrities, which is all about gaming and playing games and playing competitively and showing what you like in those games. And so far there's been 3 episodes on Dave and it's been really, really good. It's,
oh, wow.
I think the first episode had David James, the ex-England goalkeeper of all people, and he was obsessed with Tekken.
Oh, nice!
So they played Tekken, the original Tekken on the show, and he lost miserably. So yeah, it was quite funny. There's not been much in the way of Nintendo on the show yet, but they were playing Sonic 2 on the Wii, so I don't know if that sort of counts.
if they did, you know, in Super Mario Brothers 3, you know, when you had like the versus bit where it's like the pipes with the monsters coming out and stuff like that. If they did that, that would be amazing.
One of the last episodes they also did, they were playing Snake on Nokia phones, of all things, which was pretty cool.
How the heck did they show that on screens?
And there was I don't know if you've heard of the indie game, if everybody talks, no one explodes or something
like
that.
Yes, that's a very good game.
They played an adapted version of that on the third episode.
And was
where
it
there was. There was people in like these booths, and they had this balloon full of gunge filling up slowly. And they had to disarm the bomb before the balloon exploded. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I just remembered they did play Tetris on one of the games, like the original Tetris on the Game Boy. So that was sort of referenced in there. So that sort of counts as sort of Nintendo, I guess.
Close enough, we'll take it.
We'll take it. So yeah, that's on Dave. It's normally on a Monday night at 9, I believe.
10 actually.
10, sorry, 10. And it's well worth a look. It's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty much it really. But yeah, it's quite nice to actually have a show dedicated to gaming on the TV again, because it's been a while since there's been anything really for games, like, which why so
Games Master and
yeah, Games Master is one of the main ones that everyone always sort of remembers. But we were talking about this the other week on social media. It was like, why has there been this massive gap of stuff of gaming on TV, and why is YouTube blown up because of gaming? It's like, surely someone's got to catch on to this some way, you know. And hopefully in the future we'll see a few more shows like this. But yeah. Pretty cool. Well worth a look. So
Nice.
I do have one more quick shout out.
Go on.
Yeah. There's another podcast I listen to called Level Clear Podcast. And they were away for a good, must be about 3-4 months. They had a little bit of a break. They've now come back into, and they've started their season 2, episode 1. I'll share it all on the NPod page and on our Facebook as well. But it's basically 4 guys who get together, talk about a load of games they've been playing, all sorts of different things in terms every console kind of thing. And it's a really good in-depth conversation about it, and it's well worth having a listen to them if you get a chance. So yeah, we'll share that on the pages, and you can link to it and maybe subscribe if you like that kind of thing. So yeah, cool. That's my shout outs. Cool. Sam, do your shout outs.
So I'll shout out to, as always, Street Pass UK, because Street Pass is awesome and you get to meet amazing people and you get to play games and it's a good day all around. And yeah, just go on to the Street Pass UK website, find your local community, don't be afraid to talk to people and just go out there and have some fun, because life's too short to miss out, especially on video games. I also like to shout out to, you're going to guess it, Yacht Club Games for announcing their most amazing characters DLC coming out in spring. So thank you, Yacht Club. All the amount of times I kept saying, please do the Spectre Knight DLC. You listen. Thank you. I love you guys so much. I also have one more, like, surprise one. It's to another podcast and sort of bloggers on Twitter. They're called the Nintendo Super Couple, which is, you can find them at it's at Nintendo Couple, and they just blog and podcast about, like, games they like, things they're passionate about. They compare, like, old games to new, so please go and find them and have a look at their stuff, because it's well worth it. And it's nice to just support other people as well, because everybody loves gaming. So, yeah. Lewis, yes. What are your shout-outs?
I've got a couple of, I guess, personal shout-outs, as it were. I assume that's what this is for. I also, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, have my own podcast, or do a podcast, which is called Nintendo Voice, not to be confused with the big one with a similar name. Just give it a search. If you like this, you'll probably enjoy that show as well. As I said, it's myself, Colin and Harrison, but we have a good laugh talking Nintendo each week. It's pretty well-trodden formula.
Yeah.
But it's good.
We've had Colin on before, haven't we?
Yeah.
I remember that.
You've had Matt on your podcast as well.
This is true. I believe it's our longest ever episode.
Longest show ever. He always does the longest shows when he goes on specials. So.
Matt's a particular master of the talkie talkie.
Yeah. Not one of brevity.
It's just like Noelis Lewis who says, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We've got statistics to prove it, haven't we?
Crawls into the core. It's like, oh god, he wants to come on the show again.
Next time, you got multiple choice.
Yes. So it looks like we're going to have to, like, try and rope in Harrison at some point as well, to make the full Triforce.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah. I'm sure he would be up for doing something of that nature. and in the same vein, we're happy to get you guys in on Nintendo Voice.
Anytime.
Awesome.
Nintendo Voice is amazing, and everyone should go subscribe to theirs as well.
Thank you.
Like, now. Do it.
Do it. Awesome. Any shout-outs?
Did you want to give a quick shout-out about your game, Lewis? Or...
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. As I said, this is something I've been working on for a few years, really. I worked on it before there was a Kickstarter for it, and then, you know, even that was a few years back at this point. It's... If not next month, it's coming out very soon, either way, and it's an exclusive Wii U game. It takes advantage of a bunch of Wii U features, like a lot of cool gamepad use, which a lot of games are just forgetting about nowadays. But it's got a lot of cool uses on the gamepad. It's got 5-player local play, so, you know, it takes advantage of the extra controllers. There's a lot of stuff in there. If I've not actually said what it is yet, it's like this open world 2D platformer game. It's kind of a mix of Metroid and Cave Story and Mario, and a bunch of very different 2D platformers, but it's not Metroidvania, which a lot of games are nowadays. It's something I believe different and original, it's a mix of a lot of different things. You can play the whole game co-op, 5 people or just yourself. You get cool items like a jetpack. You can jet around the game, and there's also an entire monster-raising component. So if you're into, like, Pokemon or Digimon or Chows from Sonic Adventure or things of that nature...
Sonic Adventure?
Yeah.
I'm in.
Like, basically, the gamepad's like a giant VMU at that part, and you can raise up to 25 monsters and fuse them and battle them. Wow. You can do all this alongside just playing through the adventure. And so there's a lot to it. So check out one of the recent trailers. I do probably a bad job trying to describe what it is in video form as well, because there's a lot going on. But search Twisted Fusion Wii U, or go to kickstarter.com and search Twisted Fusion, and it'll be on the most recent posts. And yeah,
certainly keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, keep an eye on it, and hopefully soon it will drop on an eShop near you.
Yes. I did the first time I actually heard about your game, it was listed on Wikipedia.
Okay.
Of all things, like as coming soon.
It was a couple of years back. Or...
yeah, I don't know how long ago it was, but I was like, wow, you're on Wikipedia, you've made it.
It's strange, like the places you kind of find the name of your game. Mm. If you go have a search for it, I don't think I've seen it on Wiki, but yeah. I don't know who puts the data together. It's very bizarre. Like you got entries in like GameFAQs or Giant Bomb or whatever. It's like, well, I didn't give you any information. Who's put all that together? Very bizarre stuff, the internet.
Very bizarre. Yeah. The internet is bizarre.
who's running it? I want answers.
Any more?
No, I think that's good. We've got two pushes there.
All right.
Cheers.
Then we've come to the end of the show. So now I've got to do the whole spiel, which Matt does.
Can we do it?
No, yeah. It's fine.
Oh, he's going to do it. He's got the confidence. He's going to do it. Go, Sam.
So, Nintendo Podcast System is a part of VGTribune.com, a site dedicated to video games with writers and people like Matthew Williams and the Nintendo Dads. You can find us on social media too, with our Facebook and Twitter handle being NPodcastSystem. The pod can be found on YouTube, iTunes, and Podomatic. Our email is nintendopodcastsystem@gmail.com if you have any burning questions or anything you'd like to hear from us. Right, so guys, where can we find you, Lewis?
Okay, you can find me on Twitter, Miiverse, and other social networks with the word Luvsion, and that is spelled Leuvsion.
Sweet. Jack?
Hello, I'm Jack. You can find me on the internet at Gorny7789 on Twitter. I'm also floating about the Nintendo Podcast System pages on Facebook and Twitter. And we've also got a group on Facebook now, which is not really doing a lot, but I'll make sure there's stuff on it soon. I've also got a YouTube channel, which doesn't have a lot on it, but if you want to have a look at it, it's the same as my Twitter handle as well. So, cool. Yeah.
You can find me on Twitter, Sam Spade. Oh, God darn it.
Oh, you're doing so well.
Space UK or whatever it is. You can also find me at Sam Spade Gaming on Twitter. I have a Facebook channel and obviously my YouTube channel, Sam Spade Gaming. Other than that, you can find our podcast on Twitter at NPodcastSystem and also on Facebook as well, the same handle. Matthew Lewis.
Yep.
What's our outgoing
one quick one. Nope. So one quick one before we go to the end. Thank you, Trodge, for the review on iTunes, because we've got a new person who reviewed us. So
awesome. And can I say, as an outsider of the show, reviews for podcasts really do help. So if you're enjoying this podcast, do chuck it a review. It helps tremendously. Even if you're not someone who reviews things much, go on, do it. Jump on iTunes. Give it a review.
Even just it's awesome. Or yeah, I enjoyed this. And...
just go on and press 5 stars.
Yeah.
And then say thanks. That's all I want.
Love you. So Lewis, what's our outro?
Okay,
music?
The outro for today. It's from Kirby Superstar, or Kirby's Fun Pack, as it was known over here.
Oh yes.
And the actual tune is from Meta Knight's Revenge, and it's the ending theme.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. So that is what you'll be hearing just now.
Yes.
So
with joy.
Thank you very much for listening, guys. Right, bye from all of us, and happy gaming.
Happy gaming.
Good game.
nice pause just to make it easy for Matt.
Don't make it easy for him. Make it harder. Oh, don't take that out of context, Matt.
Oh, it'll work its way around that. Anyway.